Ratchet and Jewel. Stay safe, everyone.
This is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to
Hello, here we are. This is the third time out. I'd like to say hello to everybody. I still get nervous every time. I lasted till I was good till about 10 minutes before coming on. So here we are. I've got a couple of friends with me, Jose and Sharon. Are y'all in and hearing and speaking?
Ladies first.
Ha ha, Sharon.
I'm looking for you. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got, okay, we're all good.
Awesome. Hello, everybody.
Hi. All right. And we've got folks in the chat room I've not seen. Let's look and see who's there. I'd like to welcome everybody to What Matters Worldwide, and we're broadcasting through UCY.TV. Special thanks to Jules. She's done an awesome job building this network. My brother Jimmy's in here, and Jules and Mike. And you, Sharon, and we've got Kurt, another awesome friend. And me, I'm here, and Pastor O, and some anonymous. I welcome everybody. We're starting out. We're going to talk about just love and relationships. And Jose, you deal with people on a personal level in counseling.
Right. That's my chosen field, although I hesitate to say it's my field of expertise because I happen to think I'm better at gardening, except that only feeds me, you know. That only helps me out. I've done a couple of these shows before and with other DJs and such, and I wanted to say a few things first. One, I always avoid giving advice, you know, so I know folks in the chat room might be saying, hey, what do I do when this happens? By the way, I'm out of the chat room because I used to think I was a multitasker, but chat rooms and talking at the same time have done me in. Okay, I'm unable to read and talk at the same time. I heard a lot of you guys out there are able to do it, but I happen to be less coordinated.
That's the same with me. I can't do it. My mind just turns off at one subject, and some multi-talented people out here, and on UCY, there's a lot of great hosts on here, and you used to be a regular with Jim Freeland, and I listened to you a lot of times and really enjoyed it, and a really big shout out to James Freeland, AgainstTheWall.com. He's a great guy, a good friend of mine I met a couple of years ago, and the reason why I'm here right now, and that started my interest in wanting to be able to get my
right
voice out and share ideas, and not to tell you what is, but just what it is that we can think about and maybe get to know each other around the world a little bit better. And
yeah,
this is a subject, I'm sorry, this is a subject that really goes to the very roots of what we are as human is love. I mean, it's I think the most definite definition of who we are.
Exactly. Now, yeah, I just wanted to say, James and I go back a couple or so years, and, you know, we do radio shows because of my son, Cerno Reno Gonzalez, and all the trouble he had, you know, helping the Browns out and getting arrested and so on and so forth. And every time after we did a show, you know, we'd hang around and be talking on the Skype, and he was always telling me, you know, you ought to do a show on relationships. And I'm like, you know, truthers don't care. You know, they're out there trying to change the world. But inside my heart, I said, truthers need loving too. You know, it's a lonely world out there when you're a lone voice, and even people in your family are shunning you because of your political opinion. And so I decided to go ahead and go on his show. But I avoid twisting it towards the truthers, because when it comes to relationships, the rules are pretty much the same for everybody across the board. And just like to mention a few things before we get too far into it. I formulate these opinions based on a lot of things, but I do want to point out that new information may override my current opinion. You know, I avoid saying die. If I get more information later, I'm very likely to say, you know what, I was wrong about this. Now this is what I think. And by all means, I am hardly the last word on the topic of relationships.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I have the same viewpoint and stance that you do. I'm not trying to say anything, except for that we discuss it. And you know, Heather Callahan, activistpost.com, she was the first one to say that this is actually, she was pleased to see something like this on a whatever kind of forum you want to call this, truther or alternate media and so forth. But I think it's, you could more closely call this really what's becoming more and more the norm. So I think this is a good subject, and I'm certainly not an expert and probably retarded at the whole business anyway.
Well, the fact that you're a man is already two strikes against you. But but we'll discuss that, you know, if we get a chance to do this later on. I do want to point out that I here's where people think I'm bragging, but let me finish, okay? I have an associate in science degree. I have a bachelor of arts degree with a double major in psychology and sociology. And then I have a master of science degree in which I majored in marriage and family counseling. And while I was doing my internship at a local counseling center, I was certified by the family wellness folks to perform relationship enhancement workshops. Of course, I took their information, owned it, and then applied my own ideas to it, and so on and so forth. In the state of Texas, I perform these workshops for couples who are wishing to get married, and I give them a certificate of completion that is good for a $60 discount towards the application of a marriage license. Okay? Now, that's a lot of official stuff that I just said, but I'll tell you what right now. I learned more from my personal experience with my informal studies and my clients than I did with all that information that I just finished saying.
Isn't that true for all of us? I know myself, I've been awarded with many knots to the head. All aspects of life.
But I will say, my education did allow me to get my foot in the door, although in retrospect, I think I could have done it without it. It just would have taken a little bit longer, right? I know when I did a couple of shows before, you know, a caller called in and kind of got all in my grill, you know, saying, hey, just because you're educated don't mean you know squat. And I'm like, yeah, I think I know a lot because I've been divorced 3 times. Right.
I made one divorce, one marriage, and that was the hardest thing that I ever went through in my life. And I know from a conversation in a message earlier from a lady, and this is something that really hit her hard as she had gone through a divorce. I have something to share. This is a culmination of several different sites, and I put it all together. I give credit to that, but I strung it together in the first one starting out. That one went in a whole different direction, but I did take the first line from them. Uh-huh. And it's, why is love important? It is a feeling which is felt by every living being on this earth. So strongly is this feeling that it is said that it makes the world go around, a relationship that binds us together. Love is the beautiful feeling that expresses honesty, affection, and at the same time friendship. It might be defined as purposeful commitment to sacrificial action for another. Powerful emotion may accompany love, but commitment holds steadfast and unchanging by unmerited favor. True love will produce sacrifice for the one who is loved. Love is giving, not getting, having specific characteristics demonstrated by thoughts, words, and actions that it prompts. Love is patient and kind. Love knows no envy nor jealousy. Love is not forward and self-assertive, nor boastful and conceited. Now, science says love is in the brain, as revealed by MRI scan, to be a network releasing neurotransmitters and other chemicals in the brain and blood that create the sensation of attraction, arousal, pleasure, and obsession. Estrogen and testosterone may play a role in the sex drive. Dopamine, thought to be the pleasure chemical, is what the initial giddiness comes from. Norepinephrine, it's similar to adrenaline, produces the racing heart and excitement. These two chemicals produce elation, intense energy, sleepiness, cravings, loss of appetite, and focused attention. People in love have lower levels of serotonin, the same as those with obsessive-compulsive disorders. I thought that was kind of funny. Anthropologist Helen Fisher says love is an addiction. We crave love. We go through withdrawals from love. We relapse into love. We pursue love at all costs. We may be predisposed to develop this addiction, like our own pleasure hormones, so readily available at the slightest touch, and our ability to smell subtle pheromones, further proposing three stages of love, lust, attraction, and attachment, that they might be driven by different hormones and chemicals. Interestingly, love at first sight probably happens to men more than women, because men are more visual. When do you know if you fancy someone? What does love do to your brain chemicals, and is falling in love just nature's way of keeping our species alive? Okay.
Good words.
Yeah, I didn't write all that, but I did add and bring it together and use some of my own words to kind of just tie all those together. Now, let's see, where do you want to go, Jose? Let's take it where you, what you want to discuss.
Well, you having read that, I'll remind you that the topic today is love at first sight versus choices to love. And it's one of the things that I open up my workshops with. I ask the couples to raise their hand who believes in love at first sight. I've been doing these workshops for, I'll say, about 6 years. And I get less hands today than I did when I first started doing this. And it's kind of a disappointment, because I really like to, you know, challenge people's beliefs and get them to think alternatively. But more and more young couples are already coming to me with this thought process going in their head. I like to argue that to the people who believe that love at first sight actually exists, I say, well, why is it that you hardly ever see rich, young, handsome men falling in love with toothless, homeless hags that live under a bridge? You know, because basically this rich, handsome, available young man is choosing who he wants to love.
Absolutely.
And what I tell people, the power in that, see, and it's all very romantic, because, you know, we grow up with the movies and the country music and even, you know, some rock songs are about love and so on and so forth. And we want to experience what this media is telling us, but the reality is there's more power if I tell Sharon, hey, Sharon, I've been all around the world, and you are the one that I have chosen to spend the rest of my life with. I hope you feel the same about me. See, there's more power in that than me saying to her, you know what, I didn't want to love you. I don't even like you, but I fell in love with you the first time I saw you. You know what? And people hear that, especially in movies, and they're like, oh, he fell in love with me. That's all they hear. You know, he fell in love with me.
When I was married, my wife asked me to tell me why I loved her, and I couldn't answer it with a logical, you know, from your brain. Jimmy from Boiler Room Radio, he says, if you try to love using your brain, you'll fail miserably. And I just don't think the brain understands it. I know I don't. You love because you love, and so.
Well, it's secret when you mentioned in your reading that men are more likely to fall in love at first sight because they are visually motivated. And I hate to break everybody's heart, and mind you, this is my opinion. Love at first sight is really more a sexual attraction.
Yeah.
And when you come to realize that, and that's important, you know, that's the three stages of love that you also mentioned. The first one is lust. It's the sexual attraction. You think she's cute or she thinks you're cute, and that's why you get together. Without that, would we even have relationships? Okay, now it's important, you know, it's important, but sometimes you have that sexual, well, let me rewind that. All too often, you give in to that sexual attraction and make a commitment only to find out that the person you've committed to is a flake. And there's very little more beyond your sexual attraction. And that's tough to deal with. That is very tough to deal with. And it's the basis of why so many, you know, relationship counselors or therapists say, hey, you know, you got to take it slow. You know, you get to know the person before you jump in bed and so on and so forth. Because, you know, once you jump in bed and have sex with somebody, you may have to spend the rest of your life with that person.
So you think we're no different than animals? You think they think that they're in love and all it is really is just some chemicals firing around and for sexual reproduction?
Well, I'll one-up you on that. I know we're running out of time real quick. I think animals are better than we are.
You think?
Because animals are less prone to be fooled by role models that did it wrong.
Huh. That's interesting. Sure is.
You know, and you might, you know, animals don't listen to country and Western music and say, oh, that song says it all. I want somebody to come and you know, ride his horse up into my front yard and carry me off and save me. You know?
Have you heard of coyote howling? They've got their own kind of music, don't they?
Yeah. Well,
it's good.
Yeah. But it's a. I studied coyotes less than I've studied humans, I have to admit. Although it is nice to have someone you love at your elbow, sitting out in the middle of nothingness and hear that howling. Just makes things a lot more cozier, don't it?
Yes, it does. Hey, relating to this, when we first met and started getting acquainted, and this would go towards matters of language, I call you carnal, which is like brother in Spanish, but it has a much deeper meaning. Would you share with us all that?
Because
it is like a type of, you know, relationship, and that's what love is, you know, is based in.
Well, true, and I warn you, get me off on this tangent. But yeah, the word carnal, especially in the northern regions of what used to be Mexico, right, is an endearment because it literally translates from Espanol as meaning brother. But there are brothers who do not call each other carnal because they lack that relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's different from, for example, black folks that call each other brother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are cousins that call each other carnal, you know, because it's all about that bond that is between two men. Usually, although, you know, women can have it too, and you really have to understand the culture, because the Mexicano culture, albeit we do have the reputation for being machismo, the Mexicano culture is less masculine, it's less patriarchal, so men are more comfortable under the Mexicano culture, for example, hugging each other or you know, I read one time that in Russia the men were okay holding hands even though they were not homosexuals, and I thought, you know, Mexicanos lack that capability. But I think if you were to go back further into the indigenous ancestral past of Mexicanos, you would find that men did not have this chip on their shoulder where they were too embarrassed to be seen publicly hugging another man or admit that they loved another man. And yeah, I appreciate that you call me carnal, and you seem to use it in the proper context, you know, and I'm like, all right, you know.
Yeah, all right.
But I will tell you that the one thing Mexicanos love about gringos is gringos that try to speak Espanol.
Es muy importante, yo creo, para hablar más de una lengua. También por visitar otras puertas del mundo. Bienvenidos para aquí conmigo, mi carnal.
Gracias, igualmente.
Thank you.
I guess our time is up.
If you want to roll to the half hour, I have actually a music selection. Jimmy's going to play for me. I'm going to bring him in just a second. Or if you need to go, we can go, and Sharon and I can pick up. But you're welcome to stay either way.
I'll stay muted. Far be it for me to, you know, step on Sharon's toes. You know, even though I gave her, you know, I proposed my love to her, and all I got from her was quiet.
Yeah. You know?
No, I was going to laugh. I didn't want to interrupt them.
Thank you for coming on, brother.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I hope we can do this again.
Absolutely. Absolutely, for sure.
And I'll be listening in case I want to interject something on
Sharon. Absolutely. Jump in. Adios. Or adios. I wonder if the two mean the same sometimes.
Yeah, but I prefer hasta luego.
Hasta luego.
Until later.
Yeah, okay, brother.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi there.
We had a great conversation last night, you and I, and you told me a little bit about, I thought it was funny, you said you and Joe would never been married had you didn't call him back in high school. And y'all been together for a long time and have a really fantastic relationship, I think.
Yeah, and Jose made some really interesting points in it. It really made me think about my own relationship, and I guess I was lucky. I did fall in love at first sight, and I don't have a flake, thank goodness. But, you know, and thinking about it, he made me think about it, and it probably was at first, you know, that, you know, animal instinct, you know, a sexual attraction thing. But in the, what's it been, 24 years that almost that we've been together, I've had the opportunity to choose to love him as well. So both have happened for me with him, and I guess I'm just lucky.
Absolutely. That's a rare thing anymore, it seems, that especially that amount of years together. Used to, and in the old days, you know, people stayed together, and sometimes that was a good and bad thing. And even today, when people, even though they're not staying together, they're still how they learn to live in relationships seems like they fall into the same pattern, even when they're bad patterns, and repeat them over and over with different people.
And that can be. And luckily, I haven't had to go through that. I'd hate to go back out in the dating world and try and do it again. I'm lucky I don't have to go there. But I wanted to address something that Jose said and let him know what I thought about it. But he was saying that, you know, about the Prince Charming never falls in love with the ugly girl, you know, at first sight and stuff. And I think society plays a big role in that. I really think that how we view who is to be our mate is really society, and our parents and stuff play a big role in shaping what we would even consider, you know, when you look at a person, are you even considering whether or not they would be a good mate or not, you know, or is that even in your mind? And I think a lot of times in different societal functions, you're not even thinking that way. So I think society plays a big role in love at first sight.
Yeah, what you're saying about, well, like from Hollywood and the media, everything is really boils down to sex in a way. And that's, they say sex sells. As far as how I think people go about choosing mates, I know that several years ago, I remember a study that they looked at how the breeding habits, and they used quail as their example, and they noticed that they would, if given a preference, they chose like third cousins or something in the breeding line, which to me, I think all quail look alike. They're single species, at least. How they know each other apart, I have no idea. But I'm sure they must. So anyways, I and it went on to say that people tend to gravitate towards people of the same characteristics physically, mostly. So with that and then isolation of gene pool, and I think, well, for sure, there's no such thing as different races. We're all the same race. We just have different characteristics that, you know, come down through bloodline, and that just brings it all back to you know, how the gene pool became isolated in pockets, and so that's why we're different. Other than that, we're no different, and it's just a loss of information, because if it was all combinated back together, you know, we'd all pretty much look alike, I'd say, or you know, not exactly. We'd be, you know, kind of like with the quail, they all kind of look alike, and I think we'd look more closely alike. So,
amen to that.
Yeah, and we are alike, and we're basically, we boil that down to is love, and that's the central focus and issue of what matters worldwide, and that I think that's just the bottom line. So it goes beyond just our relationships with mates too. It goes to how we deal with each other in this world, and in a non-aggressive manner, and we should. That's how I think the world ought to work. But there's some people in the world, that powers that shouldn't be, that have a different idea. And so the premise here is to join our strengths together, those of us who do care what matters and want to make it better. And we're reaching out around the world, maybe about 50-odd countries, and disconnecting our voices. And I look forward to a lot more people that it's going to come on over. I know from different countries. I'm looking for a good friend down in New Zealand, and he's going to talk about issues down there. I'm going to put my glasses on. I've asked Jimmy to come on and play us a song here at the half hour, and then you and I are going to come back, Sharon, and do some talking. Now, Jimmy, are you, can you hear me on here?
Oh, hell, you're going to make me talk and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, no, I won't make you talk unless you want to. You're welcome.
Yeah, I got it all queued up and ready to go.
You're all right, man. This is my good friend Jimmy from Boiler Room Radio right here on UCY-TV.
So they can't build on that hard, compact earth out there. Well, this product also, when you treat the earth with it, makes the ground viable. It makes it earth again. It makes it alive. It brings everything back to life.
I've lived in Vegas and off and on my whole life since about 69, and done a lot of landscaping out there and digging holes. And I know that hard old caliche right there, it's like concrete. Everything's been squished out of it and compacted. And the casinos, too, they pump oxygen in through the ventilation system, and it keeps you up and going and gambling that money. I've seen studies that the ancient Earth atmosphere had a greater pressure and a richer oxygen environment, and things were just bigger back then. You look in the fossil record, I find that to be interesting. And when you look at how barometric pressure chambers work, that's what they're doing. They're increasing the pressure and the oxygen, and you heal better. And that's forcing that oxygen, which for the digestive system and everything else, taking up nutrients and all that, that's how you can better deal. Your body will better deal and heal with problems. So if you're not ailing, it's good for you to keep you maintaining your body's function, I think.
Oh, absolutely. The body needs oxygen. You know, human beings, mammals, alike, we need to breathe our oxygen, and if we can ingest it straight, puts on straight to our capillaries, and you know, that's great. Our product, we, you know, can't sell it to the human market yet. There are products out there like this one that are. But we're selling it, you know, geared right now towards the plants and animals and every living being looks the same. So,
well, the FDA, you know, they try to put a tight hand on everybody, and anybody that's not toeing the line in the system, they try to put the pinch on. Now, personally, I know a lot of people like go to the feed store for antibiotics and so forth. they prescribe them for animals, but also I've gotten diatomaceous earth there to use that, and the bentonite clay. It's the same ingredient that goes in cat litter. It's the little stuff that sucks everything up.
Yep,
but that's really a good cleanser, and it's kind of pebbly, so I would take and crush it with a mortar and pestle and mix it in a little water and just make some cloudy water out of it, and it absorbs toxins and stuff. And, you know, I've seen examples of food-grade hydrogen peroxide. You start out with a couple of drops in water, and, you know, there's just so many things that we can do to increase our health, but making the nutrients available is very important. So we're quantifying that we're not doctors, and we can't give medical advice. We're discussing ideas and things that I do personally. So don't take my advice to be medical advice, nor Sharon's either one.
No, I'm no scientist, but I know the product. You know,
I'm
familiar with it and what it does, and you know, I know plenty of people who believe in it. So I can tell you how it works with plants and with animals. I just can't make that correlation for you.
You live way up in some pretty country up there. We was talking last night and up along the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
And I'm down here in the hills of Arkansas, out in the Ozark Mountains. You know, there's a lot of pretty places in this old world, and I've been to a lot of them here in the United States of America, good old America here. But boy, to travel the world, and that's what we're able to do today now by way of this internet and Facebook, Google, and all those big old names of sites where people think everybody's watching us, and they probably are, but I don't care, because I'm watching everybody else too that I find of interest. And I think it's great that we can get together and share our ideas now. This time in history is paramount, that we now have the ability as a people, as a majority, not ruled by the little old tiny minority, to change this world and undo their system that is so corrupt. And that's what I'm about, and I think that we can do it together, one little step at a time. What did you say on Kurt's you sent him a message? I have to go back and find it. I think I have the timeline, but I thought that was great. Do you remember what it is without me going to look?
What are you talking? Oh, when I told Kurt that I loved what he was doing out there.
Uh-huh.
With topwatch.org. Yeah. That's an amazing thing. You know, just because they have a badge doesn't mean they have anything above us. They still have to act within the same laws, and that he's out there filming them and stuff is just a wonderful thing. I just wanted to give him kudos.
You bet.
Kurt, you go, man.
Kurt, that's Room 101 Radio, and I think he's going to be back here, not this Sunday, but maybe the following. He's like a lot of other people right now, being affected with the pollen and stuff, a little bit of scratchy throat. But anyways, and my brother's keeper, well, my brother's with a Z, checked him out. And he, like I and many others, we don't say that the cops are bad, but there is a rogue element there, and a tendency with a trend going towards a militarization. And in getting people in there with a complete lack of apathy for mankind. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to pull a rein on them too, just like the other rogue elements in society. So that's the purpose there. Everybody has one little bitty thing they can do, and it could be anywhere from as small as a smile to a stranger as you're passing them on the street.
That's how we can all change the world. That is it. If everybody would just get that, that if everybody just did one thing a day, as simple as giving a smile, giving somebody a thumbs up, letting them know that you're thinking about them, anything, that's what makes the world go round. That's what keeps the peace. That's what keeps that good vibe going. And the more good vibe going around, the more we can weed out those bad vibes.
I think that's right. Absolutely.
Yep, I agree wholeheartedly. It's all, and it's going back to Jose's thing, but a different kind of love, but it's all about love. And like you said, it's more than just a physical thing. It's just how we interact every day. And we should interact with love and respect every day.
I got this little quote here off of a YouTube channel, Brent Baldassar on YouTube, and a little short clip there, and it had the spot in there. It said, "What is love? It's when mommy sips daddy's coffee to make sure it's not poison from a seven." That's from a 7-year-old kid. I thought that was kind of cute.
You can say the darn thing.
And,
you know, somewhere.
I've heard that too. I got a quick little quibble here for you. This is a truthfully told tale of a terrible tyranny in trying times, testifying to the truth not told today. A tremendous task, to wit. Hear ye, comes the state against the buzz beaver, charged with willfully and wantonly wallowing in wild weed, wasting work wanted by those that rule the world. That goes into our natural rights and to outlaw a plant. A natural plant, something that grows, and then to make laws to protect themselves and the plants that they've made genetically to some bad stuff. March against Monsanto is coming up on the 25th, and it's worldwide. And one of the guys that got all that started, Nick, is here on on UCY TV. Come on the schedule and check that out. We've got some awesome hosts. We have Dane Wigington coming up, I believe, this Saturday to UCY TV from Geoengineering Watch. Amazing amount of information that this man has right here. And then he plans on bringing this to the front lines in some good scientific discussion. And I really look forward to that for sure.
Yep, and I'm going to be out there on May 25th. We have in the Quad Cities here, one in Moline. And all you have to do is go Google that March Against Monsanto. And you go to their website, and there's a map there. And you can look up and see if there's an event near you. And I bet there is. So if you want to use your voice and go out and, you know, just for a good cause, for your health, for your children's health, for your parents' health, for everybody's health, for the health of the planet, for goodness sake, please go out May 25th and let Monsanto know. Get off my lawn, as Master of Puppets would say.
And if you're out stuck in the hills and there's not a march nearby, then march across the internet and post up to your Facebook page and tell your friends, tell them to Google it and see what it is about the GMOs that is of great concern and how it's destroying the world. And also, like to make a note out to the 10th Amendment Center and talking about jury nullification and so forth. And if you're called to duty on jury, be informed. And if it's a crime that is not really a crime, like marijuana laws, drug laws, and so forth like that, make a change and become aware that you can put them not guilty because you don't think the law is just, and that's jury nullification. Where would you like to go, Jaren? Let's talk about something. Tell me.
Well, I want to let people know where they can find my product, I guess, since I'm here talking about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Our only presence right now is on Facebook. But if you're a member of Facebook, you can just go to and put in your search bar, Henkel, H-E-N-K-E-L, O-Q, and that's a real O, not a zero. O-Q for oxygen. And on our page, you'll find we're active on there, posting every day. And you'll find a lot of information. There are some great notes on our wall. a lot of technical information if you're into that. A little history about deuterium. If you've never heard of it before, that's like the real active ingredient in this formula. It's what allows, you know, the pH change and is absorbing those hydrogen atoms. Because deuterium is created by two hydrogen atoms coming together and creating heavy hydrogen. So when it happens in water, you get heavy water, and it changes the molecular shape of it, makes it more permeable to cells and stuff. So like with the plants and everything, they'll retain their water better. The ground retains the water better. So if you're using it on your garden, you don't have to water as often because the ground's not going to lose that water because this product has a high affinity for water, and it's going to keep it there until your plant uses it or it gets boiled off. But it's going to do it a lot better than it would just being left alone and just watered as normal. And it's going to benefit your plants. It's increasing their capillary flow, which is allowing them to transfer the 129 essential trace elements that are in our product, as well as the nourishment and nutrients that the product has unlocked in the soil. The natural nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium that's in the soil that you use all those products to add back into it, they're there. You know, there is some, and this product will unlock it and allow your plants to use it. I just think that's a really important thing, especially now in this time when we're trying to conserve water. And that's a big thing for Henkelo's too, is water conservation. In the future, if we ever do get a human market product, and we hope we do, but that costs lots of money, when that happens, we hope to offer our product along with BPA-free bottles so that you can mix it in and oxygenate your water, purify your water, and do it in a responsible fashion. And then we also want to provide it to, you know, to some of the third world countries that are having problems growing crops because it does so much for the soil and it helps retain the water and it's going to help them clean their water. I think it's just a wonderful thing. I have heard stories about a gentleman in the animal industry who uses this product, feeds it to his cattle. His cattle are a lot calmer. Apparently, they're real skittish normally. And this product helps them remain calm. They're a lot healthier when they go to market. Another story I heard was about a gentleman giving it to his turkeys. And turkeys are renowned, and I'm sorry I'm going to say this, but they're renowned for eating their own poo and other turkey poo. Well, with this product, when they're on it, they tend to stop doing that. Well, they're absorbing the nutrients that they need from what they're eating because of the state and better bioavailability for those nutrients. It's a wonderful product, and it can do so many things without any toxic side effects that I think it should be used in so many different aspects. And like I said, you can go to Facebook to Hinkle.
Jaja, she's going to play us out. Check her out. She's got on Reverb Nation. Is it? Oh boy, I think I've just messed up. I didn't have that. Yeah, but anyways, she's an awesome rap artist. Got a lot of great music. I'm waiting for a video to come out from her, and I really appreciate letting her. I mean, her letting me use her music to really speak, just like the intro from PhyllisSinclair.com. Check her out. She's got a lot of other great music. I'd like to appreciate, or I do appreciate, and I'd like to thank Jose for coming on and Sharon for you coming on, and hope to have you on again soon. And I'd like to thank everybody that got me started, got me led to the water, Kurt, Jimmy, got me out there where shivering started, and I just jumped in all the way tonight, but I still have me a lifeline with Jimmy. I appreciate you, man. And I don't know when the music plays. Sharon, give us a few words to take us out.
You folks have a great night. You all take care. Know where your food comes from. Love your neighbor.
Stay right here on UCY for our next program coming up. And it's going to be live. And enjoy the music. Go on out. Love and peace, y'all. It's Vince Easley, the proper papa, propaganda panda.